In the late 1990s, then-Boston Mayor Tom Menino looked out over a desert of parking lots along the Boston Harbor and saw potential. 20 years and about $20 billion of public investment later, we have the gleaming towers of the Seaport District. But sea level rise spells trouble for these glassy skyscrapers and the upscale wine bars in the Seaport. In the WBUR series, Boston Underwater, WBUR's Jesse Remedios this morning tells us why the Seaport has gone from big promise to big challenge, with questions over who pays for the solution.
Many Bostonians can still picture the parking lots, the concrete desolation. They say it wasn't all that long ago. But now, the Seaport District is a destination. There are beer gardens, restaurants, museums.
You know, it has drawn definitely a crowd, and we're just on a Sunday afternoon stroll.
There are waterfront parks that overlook sailboats and the Boston skyline.
One of the best views in the city, in my opinion. It's just a really fun place to live and enjoy yourself.
And there are dozens of new buildings filled with some of the biggest businesses in the world, like Amazon, Vertex, and General Electric. In 2017, former Boston Mayor Marty Walsh spoke about the neighborhood with pride and promise.
The Seaport tells the story of our city. The Seaport right now is hitting its stride. It represents the future, our future economy here in Boston. It's powering our cultural innovation. It's become Boston's calling card.
But this shiny economic engine, built on mudflats and salt marshes, is in trouble. Because climate change is here, and the sea is rising.
This is one of the most vulnerable, it's one of the lowest waterfront areas in the city of Boston.
Boston Green Ribbon Commission member Bud Riss knows the Seaport well. He ran the nearby New England Aquarium for almost a decade, and he helped write the area's official Climate Ready Boston plan in 2018. That report projects that by the 2030s, Boston seas will be high enough that a single huge nor'easter could cause $1 billion worth of damages from massive flooding across South Boston. One of the main flood pathways into the Seaport is Fort Point Channel, the long inlet off Boston Harbor that separates South Boston from downtown. I recently took a walk with Riss there.
During the COVID, things really slowed down here, except the construction kept going.
We passed museums and a chic waterfront bar.
Good place to have a margarita.
At the end of the channel, near Gillette's headquarters, Riss pointed out two adjacent flood prevention projects currently in the works. Riss says one project is being paid for by the city and a FEMA grant, the other by developers. The projects will raise the existing harbor walk a few feet and turn it into one continuous berm to hold back high water.
But we have two things here that you don't have elsewhere. We got empty land, and we've got big development projects where the cost of resilience will be a fraction of their overall costs.
That's the crux of the problem. Most of the Seaport is already built. A lot of it was built without planning for sea level rise. And now, there's no consensus on how to pay to protect it.
How do you decide who pays for flood protection along the waterfront?
The Boston Children's Museum, the only nonprofit on the Fort Point Channel, plans to construct its own $30 million flood defense beneath its famous Hood milk bottle.
If the Children's Museum does this and stops the flood pathways into the neighborhood, shouldn't they get some help from that? I certainly think so. They should at least get help from the city or the state, maybe from the property owners behind them.
Children's Museum President and CEO Carol Charno says they've just begun to fundraise for the project, but so far, they haven't gotten much support.
Just imagine, you go to a donor and they go, well, here you are, you're going to be protecting the Fort Point Channel. Is the city helping? Are the other corporations helping you? And the answer right now is no.
The issue has made its way into the Boston mayor's race. At a recent candidate forum, City Councilor Andrea Campbell said the city isn't doing enough to coordinate the neighborhood's protection.
You see organizations, for example, like the Children's Museum or residents out there on their own planning and developing resilience and resiliency strategies, having fundraising campaigns to come up with the money. That's all ridiculous. The city of Boston needs to take the lead.
City Councilor Michelle Wu was even more blunt.
The Seaport is one of the starkest examples of what's wrong with our development system overall.
Even though scientists were ringing the alarm about rising sea levels for years, The city says it didn't fully understand the threat until 2016. But by that point, dozens of new buildings in the seaport had already been permitted without adequate flood protection. Despite what critics call a parcel-by-parcel approach, city officials say they've collaborated with developers to add flood protection to individual projects and pitch in for district-wide solutions. And they say their approach works better than a one-size-fits-all solution. Here's Boston Planning and Development Agency Director Brian Golden.
We've always been concerned that a formulaic approach may not be nuanced enough to address the particular needs of each parcel in each neighborhood.
Golden says Martin's Park, a playground next to the Children's Museum, is an example of the city's tailored approach to resilience. Before the park finished construction in 2019, the city updated designs to turn the park into a flood protection tool and got developers in the seaport to help pay for it.
People want to build in Boston. That's why we're still experiencing the biggest building boom in history. And where that development is occurring, we are demanding significant investment in resiliency measures.
Deanna Moran, the Director of Environmental Planning at the Conservation Law Foundation, says there have been plenty of discussions about funding Boston's resiliency efforts long term, but no decisions. And she worries that, in the end, the seaport's deep pockets might not pay their fair share.
What I would hate to have happen is because those new developments are so influential in terms of economic development in the city and tax base, that like those are the projects that get the subsidies to retrofit and not all of this older housing stock that really needs it more.
Love it or hate it, the seaport has become a symbol for Boston's future. Its economic growth, its struggles with inequality, the threat from climate change. How the city deals with the neighborhood could shape its response to sea level rise for decades to come. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Jesse Remedios.